Talking Landscape Photography with Christian Fletcher and Cowan.
Hey, g'day everybody. It's Christian here, otherwise known as Fletch, and I'm doing the first intro in over a year of episodes in this light-minded podcast. Probably the last time I do it, actually. But today we have a super special guest, a guy that everybody knows and loves. And
Ken Dungan.
Is not one, but he should be. No, it's even better. Sir Peter Eastway is on the line. Peter, are you there?
Hey, Pete, been dying to catch up with you because, mate, I've recently discovered that you sound like a Sydney radio celebrity. Do you want me to give you a bit of an idea of who that is?
Can I duck and weave to get out of this?
G'day, Rob Duckworth here, and I certainly hope you're enjoying the music.
What do you reckon? Sounds like Duck.
He's got a few little tips I could help him with, but apart from that, he sounds pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's recording on a professional mic, not this.
I'm on my Logitech video mic here, so I've put it up nice and close because I can see from the waveform that speaking like this is much more intimate, and the size of my signal looks closer to you guys. So you should explain the new technology we're using, Cowan, because I know Fletch doesn't understand it.
Well, basically, we've got this new Mojo, and it just, it works. So
don't get too close to your mic, Pete, because we don't want to catch
you. Just watching Victoria at the moment being closed down, and we've got a lot of friends down in Victoria, so I feel for them going into 6 weeks isolation. I got a... one of the photographers is on board with me on the ship where we, our COVID ship. He's a professor, and he's doing a study about all of us. So I've been sent a couple of surveys, et cetera, and they'll be doing a blood test. It's quite amazing how COVID is, I guess, fooling all of the scientists and the medicos because things to different people.
Is that related to the COVID-19 thing, or is that just related to your use of the saturation slider as somebody?
He doesn't saturate his photos.
I don't believe that. Photos aren't oversaturated. No, I was doing a Zoom meeting with there's a camera club. I think it was Campbell or Camera Club down in Victoria. And somebody sent a question that said, why do I oversaturate all of my colours? And I thought they must have been listening to one of these podcasts because, as Donald Trump says, this is fake news.
This one is. Yep. This podcast is definitely fake news. Yeah. Cowan, your sound is going in and out a little bit there, mate. You just sounded like you had your mouth in a can of baked beans. Actually, that reminds me of a story I heard about a particularly famous photographer from Australia who used to sleep in his car and just eat baked beans, raw baked beans out of the can.
Really?
No, he would never do that. No, someone else, but I'm not going to mention that. But anyway.
Baked beans out of my back of my car. I've been, we've sort of discussed a little bit what we're going to chat about, and I've been watching entries into the various photo competitions that are out there, and there are a lot of photo competitions out. There's Australian Photography's got a competition. There's the Pano Awards, which Dave Evans runs. We've opened up the International Landscape Photographer of the Year Award, the Better Photography Photo of the Year Award is open. The AIPP Silver Lining Awards just got announced recently. The NZIPP's Professional Awards just closed last week. So there are lots and lots of photo awards out there. And I guess that was, that was the decision, wasn't it? We're going to have a chat about photo awards and why some people enter, why others don't. And Christian, why some people enter and then never enter again?
Look, Pete, I don't know. It's one of those things, isn't it? You put your heart and soul into something, as you always say. Look, when I enter APA, it's always with four golds. And, you put heart and soul into it, and it goes up in front of a panel of judges that that you respect and admire, and they tear strips off your image. you get a rotten result, you spend all that money. So I figure, well, you know, competitions aren't for me. So that's, you know, I just take my bat and ball and go home.
And I when people ask why do I continue to enter competitions, like I entered the Silver Lining Awards recently. So I mean, I practice what I preached.
How'd you go?
How you define how do you go? I got a fourth in one category, finalist in a couple of categories, and I think I was a semi finalist somewhere around the line. And I just call that an abject failure, of course. But because I'm thinking of some of the other entries that I put in, and I had a couple of, you know, a few entries, photos from Antarctica, which I put into, I think it was the places category, and they didn't even make the semifinals. And, you know, I look at that and, you know, personally, that's some of my best work that I, you know, in my mind. So I understand what you're thinking about. And I didn't get anywhere with those photos. And, well, you know, the judges were obviously Philistines. They just didn't understand my brilliance at the time. But one of the lessons I guess I learned about photo competitions earlier on is just because you do badly or well in one competition is no indicator of how you might do in another. You know, when I guess I was in my early 20s, I entered a photo into the Mossman Camera Club, and I was so proud of this photo. I also did another copy, and this is in the darkroom days, so I did a second copy and I entered it into the Sydney International Salon of Photography. Anyway, that all happened, let's say, one day, and then a week later I'm at the Mossman Camera Club and the judge is there, and the judge essentially says, well, I don't know what this photographer was thinking, but they should give up photography. They should, you know, they're a loser. They have no hope of success. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but basically the photo got absolutely nothing and the judge slammed it. And so I thought, oh, well, there go my hopes. So a month later I get rung up and I've won the Sydney International Photography, whatever it was for the black and white category, with the same photograph. So whether you get a win or a lose in a photo competition in some ways is a matter of luck. Luck's possibly not the right term, but you don't have control over it. It's not like a running race. But the reason I enter isn't necessarily to win or lose. I love to win, don't get me wrong. And you love to remind me that the last time I was the Professional Photographer of the Year was over 20 years ago. I love the fact that you keep on reminding me that, even though it was twice, Christian. But it's the process of entering. And that's why I'm such a if everybody reads this and goes and enters the Better Photography Photo of the Year Award or the International Landscape Photographer of the Year, I have a financial interest in that. So let's get that over and out of the way. Yes, please enter. And hopefully, we'll get a few extra entries in and we'll get paid a little bit more for the hours and hours of work that we put into it. Because if you want to become rich doing photo competitions, I'd suggest you're better off going and studying law or accountancy and becoming a merchant banker. You've got a much better chance. But coming back to the reason for entering is that because it makes you a better photographer. I mean, over the last 25, 30 years, every year I've entered APA, entered into the Professional Photography Awards, I've put my heart and soul into four photographs and I've sent them off. You know, four golds, as we discussed before. They rarely come, well, they've never come back as four golds. I've never been able to do that. But it's the process of going through and creating those four entries, of learning how you just improve. That's the process and that's the win. And that's why I'm so passionate about photo competitions, because it puts you out there. It makes you take a deep breath and go and put your photographs in front of strangers and hope that they like them. I mean, you know, we do that on social media as well. The best thing about social media is when someone goes onto my Facebook page and says, your photos are crap, Pete, I just unfriend them and block them. I find Facebook absolutely wonderful.
I think for someone like me, if I unfriended and blocked people that didn't like my photos, I'd have no mates left. Peter, I just wanted to ask you, sorry for interrupting before, but when you're entering a competition, you know who the judges are. Like, for instance, say it was a Jackie Rankin or somebody like that. Do you find yourself, putting your collection together based on who's judging? I suppose it's like rugby union in a way. Like rugby, you tend to play the referee, so you play how you think they're going to interpret the laws. But do you find that in a competition scenario where you'll actually tailor your collection, if you like, to the judge?
Yeah, I actually don't very much. I often don't even look at the judges. Often I look at the judges and I think, God, I'd have no hope with them. But I also find that people who you think are the complete opposite of you in the way that you think and do stuff will often be quite different as judges. I mean, I look at the International Landscape Photographer of the Year judges, and I would describe them with the greatest respect and love as quite conservative in the way they look at landscape photography. And yet some of the images that they choose as winning photos are completely out there, and they don't necessarily match what I consider to be their profile. And obviously my assessment of their profile is wrong, because you know they've picked what they've picked. And so I think it can be a little bit dangerous to look at judges. I hope that when people look at me as a judge, they don't think, oh, the only sort of photographs he likes are photos he takes. Yep. Obviously, I have a bias towards that. You can't get away from that. But I like to think that, you know, being a magazine editor for 40 years and entertaining and publishing the work of such a wide variety, such a wide number, different number of genres, I like to think that I'm quite Catholic in my taste, meaning that I've got I love looking at documentary work. I love looking at portraiture. I love looking at weddings sometimes. I feel that I have quite a broad understanding of the different genres, and that I can be quite independent and objective, as much as you can be in a subjective environment, independent and objective in all sorts of genres. So I remember giving an HDR photo first prize in a photo competition. Personally, I don't like HDR, generally speaking, but as an exercise, this photographer's HDR presentation was superlative, and it was, he chose or she chose to do HDR, and if that was their decision, the HDR photograph was brilliant, and it got first prize because that was the best exposition of photography in that particular category. So I like to think that when judges come to the podium to judge and to make decisions, that they are doing their best to be independent and objective, and that you don't really just because they have a particular style, I don't believe that's any real indicator as to what they're going to like in a photograph.
Do you think fashion plays any part in this, all this stuff? Because obviously, I mean, aerials have been fashionable and they've been very successful. You think there's a possibly something else that's going to be coming along soon that will be the next, aerial 100% photography success story?
I think that also is a good segue into, what is it that judges are looking for? I mean, when you're a judge and the photos come up in front of you, in some ways you're looking for something that's new and different. If someone has done a great aerial photograph that looked like a Christian Fletcher, and then the following year they go to the same location. Look at it as an example. We all went to Shark Bay and photographed Shark Bay from the air, and then following our photos, there were hundreds of people going up to Shark Bay in that area and taking very, very similar results not necessarily getting the same scores. Why? Because the judges had seen them the previous year. So they're no longer new. And so something that is new gets the judges excited, gets you those extra points, and so you're more likely to be a winner. And so when we come back to fashion, I don't know whether it's necessarily fashion, but that's a good way of describing it, because photos come in and out of fashion. I mean, black and whites used to win at APA, and people said, oh, unless you put in a black and white, you're never going to win. And then the following year, suddenly colour started to win. And, so colour, black and white over over a couple of decades, it comes and it goes. And I think you're right. I think we're going to eventually get sick of the aerial perspective. I mean, look at all of the news. If you watch the television news and they're doing a story, there's so much drone footage in there these days. Every TV, cameraman has got a drone, which they put up to get a little bit of, filler footage. And I think that we will eventually get sick of drones. I'm not yet sick of the aerial perspective, I've got to say. I still love it. I still love shooting aerials. I still love looking at them. I do think, though, that some of the less experienced judges, and I say that with respect, they are perhaps still swayed a little bit by the romance of an aerial abstract, and they probably score them too highly because when you look, you know, 100 photos entered, these judges are often giving, you know, 90 of them a score of 90 or higher because they are all great. And they are great photos, but as a judge, you then have to start to stretch out your scores and say, well, look, this is a great photo last year, but this year it needs to be going a little bit further, or it needs to be revisiting something from 5-10 years ago that we've forgotten about. They need to mix it up for photo competition. So
what are your predictions in terms of, you know, where the you know, the sort of photography we're going to see this year? And the reason I ask that is Christian did some photography during the week of his car, his i3, and it was influenced by Ruben Wu, and I'm sure you know Ruben's stuff. He does those, you know, drone shapes and all that sort of stuff, which is quite interesting, and you know, we're sort of messing around with that at the moment. But is there anything, you know, like Christian sort of alluded to before, like what's the next big thing, do you think?
I wouldn't have a clue. I mean, if I knew the answer to that, I'd be winning the competitions all the time, wouldn't I? Mm. And what you're asking me is
something like that, or sorry? Like is it something like that? Like, you know, that Ruben Wu style of things, or you know what's next?
Look, it could be. I mean, Ruben did very well with his images; they got known. But if you put photos up which are very similar to Ruben's, and you're an educated judge, you're going to look at it and then you're going to compare that entry with what Ruben does. And unless it's significantly better, why would you give it a high score? So, like, there's no such thing as original thought in photography, but there is original, I guess, it can be original for you, and that's all you can do. But, you know, Christian's looked at Ruben's stuff, done some photos. He's, you know, on social media, I've seen a couple of the photos. He's referenced Ruben. He's done it the right way. He said, I've seen what Ruben's done. I'm playing around with that. And as he continues to go through, maybe one day he'll come up with an extension of Ruben's technique that takes it a step further with an idea or an approach that Ruben hasn't thought about. Christian stood on his shoulders and taking it a step further. And that's what photography is all about. It's stepping on people's shoulders and going a little bit further. Sometimes that further becomes a circle because we start to reinvent things that get forgotten, get reinvented, and that becomes fashion. You know, we've had short skirts, long skirts. Christian's worn them all, of course.
I love the fashion that the young girls are wearing these days, because my daughter is going to be 15 in a month's time, and it's all Billie Eilish has been the one that's helped us fathers out, because all the clothes they wear these days are big baggy kind of tracky dacks and pants and big jumpers, and they cover themselves up. I think it's fantastic. So thank you, Billie Eilish, for doing that for us fathers out there. But look, we had this discussion with Les Walkling last week, and I, you know, I've always had this thing where I feel like I need to be taken seriously, and how do I become a, you know, a true contemporary art photographer, whatever that might be. So I asked the question, to Les, and he goes, well, you know, why do you want to be that? You know, why do you think you need to be you got to ask the question of yourself, why do I need to do that? And what's my intention? What's my reason? And he says, is it ego? And I thought about it. I thought, well, actually, probably is. It's probably just that, oh, look, I'm doing this and I'm better than everyone else because I've come up with this idea that it's not new, but I'm going out. And but then it's not, you know, my wife always says, you know, you should be authentic, and you can't do something that's not in you. So after that conversation with both those two people, you know, that I respect both their opinions, I walked away and went, you know what, fuck it, I'm probably not that. I'm not that Bill Henson that can sit there and talk about art and create images that have some deeper meaning. I just go out and take photographs that I enjoy and visually are nice. And I've just got to be happy with the success that I have with the galleries and forget about the trying to, you know, be something I'm not. So maybe I still think as a judge, when you see a beautifully done classic landscape image, there's nothing wrong with that, and that should be rewarded just as highly as anything else.
That's a good point, isn't it, Christian? Because a lot of competitions, we judge our success on whether we come first, second, or third, or really if we come first, and that's a tough thing. Whereas I much prefer the way of the a number of competitions, like the Better Photography Competition as an example, or the AIPP Awards, where what they do is they say, we'll give you bronze, silvers, and gold awards. And it doesn't matter how many bronzes or how many silvers or how many golds, if your photograph reaches a standard in the judge's eyes, you can get that gold award or that silver award. When it comes down to first, second, or third, that's a preference that the judges happen to have on that particular day. And if they judged the same photos 12 months later, you might end up with a completely different result. So, yeah, because there is a subjectivity to it. But when you can be able, when you can enter something and get that gold award or that silver award, that's sort of like an independent standard, and there's no limitation on how many people are awarded that. And I think that's got to be your aim point. I mean, for me, entering APA every year, if I don't get four silvers, I'm disappointed. But for someone who has yet to get a silver, that would be their aim is to get one silver, and then to get two silvers, and then to get four silvers, and You brought up a whole lot of interesting things, like the term ego. Yes, ego is definitely in there. I love people saying to me, Peter, you've taken a great photo, or well done getting that award. It's great. We're photographers. We like that acknowledgement. But there's also the other side, that because it's a solitary pursuit, we just do our photography ourselves. We can do what we like and be happy with it, but there's always this nagging question in the back of our mind is, does it stack up to what other people are doing? And that's where a competition is quite good. That is where social media is totally useless, because you've got so many friends who are going to give you loves and hearts. I mean, every time I see a photo of yours, Christian, I give it a tick or a heart just because you're a mate. Half your photos are crap, but, you know. But I'm sure you do the same for me.
That's the same for me too.
Whereas when you put your photos into a competition, they're judged anonymously. I mean, you know who the judges are, but they don't know who you are. And so what you get as a result is an honest appraisal of where your work stands within photography generally. And so if you're getting a bronze award, you know, okay, I've got a bronze. That means that I'm doing some things right, but I've got room for improvement. If you get
who are the judges this year of the BetterPhotography.com Awards?
Well, with Better Photography, we do it a little bit differently in that we have the same three judges every year, and that allows you as an entrant to have some consistency in your results. And the judges are Tony Hewitt, David Oliver, and myself. So we've got three AIPP Grandmasters, three cranky old silverhead blokes who reckon they know it all. No, just kidding. But we've got, David, Tony and I, we've all judged internationally. We've all judged amateur and professional competitions. This is an amateur-only competition. And we understand what it's like to enter and to get poor scores. We've all bombed out in competitions. And that's another reason why I still enter, is because I think as a judge, you really need to understand what it feels like to get a low score. So when you hand out your scores, you're not just being cavalier in what you hand out. You are being genuine in the feedback that you're offering to your entrants.
Look, say for example, there's somebody listening to this podcast right now, and they're getting some confidence in their photography, and they've never actually entered an award before. Let's just call that person, Mike. Just talk them through the process. How do they actually enter your awards, Pete?
Well, to enter the Better Photography competition, and it's similar for most, you go to the website, so that's betterphotography.com, and there's a link which will take you to betterphotographyphotocomp.com, which is where the competition is. You log in, so that's just like, you know, your email address and a username. Use your own name for a photo competition, so if you win, you become famous. And then you upload the photos and their specifications, which it might be 3,000 pixels as a JPEG. Upload the photos, put them into a particular category if that's required. There are four categories in the Better Photo Competition. Pay your money, with $20 an entry or five photos for $80, so every fifth entry is free. And then you sit back and wait. Now, the Better Photography Photo Competition is a little different in that not only do we give you a score and then a bronze, silver or gold award if it's high enough to get there, we also provide a little bit of feedback. And the feedback is somewhat generic because for the entry fee, you're not going to get a judge to sit down and talk about your photo for half an hour and give you, you know, a background in art history. But it will say something like, photo is overall a little bit light. Have a look at it again and maybe there are areas that are a little bit bleached and that you would have more detail if you darkened it down. And so then you look at the photo and you think, well, it doesn't look too light to me. Oh, wait on, there's some areas in the sky. Oh, yeah, I look at the clouds. I don't have any detail in the clouds. And so suddenly you can see something in your photograph that now that you see it, acknowledge it, next time you're taking photographs, you're aware of that. And that improves your photography. And that's why I'm such a passionate advocate of photo competitions, because as long as you can accept the times you don't do so well, you are going to improve yourself just so much more by taking on that independent criticism.
But just on that, those times you don't do so well, emotionally, you know, what advice would you give to somebody who might enter the competition and, you know, they sort of come away with 2/3 of 5/8. Like, you know, is that, do you take that sort of personally? I can imagine some people.
Look, you have to. And, you know, it's funny, as I said, you know, an example, I suppose, last year in New South Wales AIPP, I won Photographer of the Year. I had the highest scoring print. I also had the lowest scoring print out of the entire awards. I got a 67 for one of my photos, and I still have that photo here, and I still look at it, and I think, 67, you hard bastards. I mean, you could have at least given me 71. But, I mean, when I put that photo in, that was a gold. It's gone from gold down to 67 because I understand, I think, because I've been around a little longer, I understand what the judges were looking at, and I think that they were a little narrow, personally. I think they're a little narrow-minded in the way they looked at it. They're going to look at the print and think, the photographer who entered this has got no bloody idea of what makes an award-winning photo competition and we need to send them a score. I guess what I'm saying is that there's always going to be that disappointment. I remember that 67 more than I remember the fact that I got the highest scoring print.
But you're one of the most experienced photographers in Australia. Like, what about that person who just enters the competition and they just,
I think that's where the advice is the same advice that I've given to everybody who's entered APA over the last 30 years. Keep at it. There isn't a single photographer that you're looking up to who has only taken successful photos. Just ask Christian how many bombs he's taken. Must be up to 3 or 4 by now, isn't it, Christian? But you know,
I could only take that many bombs before I bombed out myself and just. I still remember Sydney, you know, all those years ago. Yeah, just driving, just walking along the Sydney Harbour Bridge on my own, just looking down at the water below,
drinking milk out of the carton,
thinking, you know.
I guess disappointment is natural, but then just ignore that. Yeah, just be disappointed. Accept that you're going to be disappointed for 1 or 2 months, maybe, and then come back and revisit it when the initial disappointment has gone, and that's when the growing happens. That's when you start to look at those photos a little bit more objectively. As an example, in my book, The New Tradition, I talk about an example, and I might have mentioned it on the podcast before. I was on Easter Island with my wife. We spent 2 weeks there. I'm going back 30 years probably now. I had a 4x5 view camera. I took this photo of a tree with rocks, beautiful sky. It was one of the most beautiful, pristine moments that I still remember being there. It was wonderful, really happy with the photo, gold award, made a print, put it in, and it got judged, and the score came up 74. And Ian McKenzie was asked to make a comment, and he said, oh, yeah, it's just a nice little travel snap. And I'm at the back of the room, and I thought, a nice little travel snap? You bloody ignoramus, you know, how the hell can you – can't you see it's a brilliant landscape, and you're calling it a travel snap? God, you know, I was just so incensed. Anyway, four or five years later, I'm cleaning out the studio, and I've got all of these old APA entries, and I'm throwing them onto the dustbin to go to the tip, and I throw this Easter Island photo, and I pull it back, and I look at it. So I'm 5 years down the track, and I'm looking at it, and I think 74, and all those memories come back. And I think, actually, Ian was very polite. This is a crap shot. This shot is not nearly as good as what I'm doing now. But I'd had 5 more years' experience. And everybody who enters a photo competition, what it does is it basically puts a marker in time that says, this is as good as you can do today. And then in another 6 months' time, you look back on what you have entered and see how you have progressed. And then you enter in the following year, another 6 months' time, you enter in again and see if you can do a bit better. And it is that process of putting the entries in, spending some money, putting the entries in, getting the feedback, living with the disappointment if it happens, and then building on it and becoming a better person, a better photographer. And I do not know a process where you can improve yourself better than doing a photo competition. One exception might be going to doing a photography course where you have a lecturer, and the lecturer will basically mark you and give you a score out of 100. And, you know, if I get 51, that's a pass. Anything over 50% is wasted effort. I'm successful. But you'll get that feedback one-on-one. That a mentor is fantastic. But if you don't have a mentor, then going into photo competitions to me, I've done it. I wouldn't be where I am without the AIPP's APA Awards and without a lot of the other photo competitions as well.
Hey, Pete, I just wanted to ask you about the International Landscape Photographer of the Year Awards. Obviously, the inaugural competition was probably one of the most successful in my
opinion. Why would that be, Christian?
Look, it's just because it was, you know, the first time it was out.
And I
have a question about the. we're not going to go there, people. I'm not interested in blowing. That's right. You know, everybody won that year, Pete. Everybody won. That's. I'm just asking about the rules now. Are the rules in this competition, the International Landscape Photographer of the Year, that you have to take the photo within the last 2 years? And if so,
yes, it is.
Why is that?
I think it might be a little less than the last 2 years. I think you're getting me to double check, but I think you have to have taken the photo after the 1st of January 2019 for this year. So it's in the last sort of 18 months or so. And the reason that we do that is that in some photo competitions, before we had this rule, we would see photos that had been taken 10 years ago coming up and being resurrected and often winning, and yet they'd won a competition in 1973, and then they won a competition in 1978, and then they won one in 1982.
Yeah.
Now, there's an argument that says, well, if the photo's good enough and it keeps on winning, then why not? But as photo organisers, and certainly with the Landscape Photographer of the Year or International Landscape Photographer of the Year Award, what we're trying to do is to create a contemporary snapshot of what landscape photography is all about. And so this is our seventh year, I think it is, and we can look at the last six books and you can open them up and you can see changes in the styles. And so we're not just running a competition, we're creating, I guess, a history of landscape photography. And that's why we have that rule in there, because we want contemporary work. We want people to put in recent stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's good answer, because I was often wondering. But I think that we were speaking to David Evans a few weeks back, and he said that with the Pano Awards, I don't think there was any time limit. Yeah, I think it's pretty much you can just enter anything anytime. But yeah, look, that's a very valid point.
The way that we set up the rules. David and I are partners in the International Landscape Photographer of the Year Awards. The reason we set it up with having the top 101 entries is because we acknowledge that there is a standard in an awards, and to put first, second, or third is in some ways not fair. On the other hand, everybody loves a winner. And so if you're doing something which is a commercial exercise, it's good to have first, second, and third. But for me, those first, second, and thirds are just opinions based on how the judges felt on the day and whether they'd had one cup of coffee or two cups of coffee. And I say that with respect. Whereas the top 101, that's, you know, that's the, in other words, you've got to reach a standard. And so just being any of those top 101 photos, to me, is the win. That's the objective. And then we put them all into a book. If you make it into that 101, you can get a printed copy of that book. You can put it on your bookshelf. If you just want to download it, you can download a PDF. You can have all six books on your computer, so you've got a reference for inspiration. That idea of standing on the shoulders of other photographers, getting ideas. I'm not suggesting plagiarism. Plagiarism is where you copy the work of one photographer, where you see a photograph and you take the same shot and try and replicate it. That's plagiarism. But when you go and look at 100 photographs and you take ideas from 25 of them and put them together into something of your own, that's inspiration, and that's quite acceptable.
I was just going to ask you, what's the difference between plagiarism and inspiration? Well,
we've all copied Tony, and we all know that Tony's... I got to plagiarize him, like it's
his haircut.
You know,
oh, yeah, love it.
I do, yeah. Yeah, that's why we're friends with Tony, just so we can steal his ideas. Yeah, no, Tony's very generous. And actually, I think one thing that Tony's got from us, Peter's doing all these ND5 trips, I think his work has actually improved a lot.
Yeah, I think he's been very lucky
with us. What do you think,
Christian?
Probably luckier than we have been. But,
And probably Les is the luckiest out of all of them. The fact that he's been able to see the lighter side of photography with us.
Yeah, that's right. definitely, because it can get pretty heavy at times. I think the International Landscape Photographer of the Year Awards is actually probably the prime, and I'm not just saying this to be Giron, Pete, but I think it actually is the primo competition in landscape photography currently. And I'm thinking that I would like to enter this year if that's okay with
As far as I'm concerned, you, Christian, I have no problem because I am not one of the judges. So
the judges, that's right. And you weren't
exactly
the year that
right.
I won either.
Not. It was very embarrassing when you
know.
Did win,
just
I have to say. Because it looked like one of your mates had got it, but it was completely independent. And I spoke to the five judges when they came with the announcement, and I said, I need to let you know that Christian is a friend of mine. And they said, so what? They said, we'll stand up and we will say that Christian's portfolio was the best. So there was, go for your life.
Yeah, well, great, mate. Well, I'm definitely going to enter this year because I feel like I need to get back on the horse. And listening to your comments there, it's made me kind of feel a bit more passionate now about, like, yeah, and it is. And you're right. It's all about improving your work. And you do that when you enter a competition because you look at your stuff and go, oh, I guess you can do that a little bit better. I can make
and
that.
Isn't that
nicer,
true, Christian?
Can,
because you know, when you are looking at the photo before you're entering it in, well, certainly I know what I'm doing. I'm listening to the judges. What are the judges going to say about it? Oh, so I'm looking at a photo opposite my room here at the moment of a volcano with a couple of clouds above it. And I think, if those clouds were just a little bit lighter, that would make it a stronger image. So then I go back into Photoshop and I make those clouds a little bit lighter. And it's just that process of trying to second guess what an experienced photographer might say about your work that really helps. And then if you do get an opportunity to enter into awards, I mean, one of the good things with the AIPP awards when they were on, they're not on this year because of COVID, was that you could sit down and listen to the judges' comments. And I believe a lot of those comments are still available. You can watch the judging online still. I think you can still find it on YouTube or the AIPP website. And, you know, you look at the photo and you listen to the comments made. Now, sometimes I listen to the comments being made by judges and I think, wow, that's really insightful. I hadn't thought of that before and it helps me. On the other hand, I listen to other judges and I think, well, you really have no understanding about what you're judging. Why did you say that? That's a waste of time. And But if you listen to the same Judge Christian or Carwin, you guys might think the exact opposite. And what's good about that is it's not whether the judge is right or wrong. It's whether you have an opinion about what the judge has said. And as you develop an opinion about what the judges are saying, you can decide whether to take their criticism on board or to ignore their criticism. And that's the mark of you becoming a better photographer. Because at the end of the day, what you want to be able to do is to produce photographs that you like and that you're confident with. And so I feel very fortunate at my stage of career, and I'll pat myself on the back at the moment. I did that series of photos on Antarctica that we talked about in the previous podcast, and I've put them in a book. It's being printed at the moment at Memento. They're taking a little bit longer because they're apparently snowed under with everybody else doing photo books, which is a good thing. But I'm proud of those photographs. And I feel that I can be, because I've done well in photo competitions, I know that there are some people who like some of my photos some of the time, that I can look at that and I can more or less objectively say in a subjective way, I've done well, I'm happy with that work. And I think that's where we all want to aim to be within our own selves, that, whether you're an amateur or professional, if you can look at your work and say, I'm really comfortable with that, and I'm also comfortable based on my experience on what other people have told me my photography's like, that other people would like it as well. When you get to that point, that's really super satisfying. And everybody can achieve that in their own way. It's a personal best in many ways. You don't have to be the gold award winner in the Olympics. You just have to get to the Olympics and do a personal best. Yeah, so the Better Photography Photo Competition, the initial entries close on the 15th of August, so that's not far away, but there's also an extended entry of 22nd of August. You don't necessarily get your every fifth entry free if you don't get it in by the 15th of August. So let's hope the podcast is published just in time for that. And then the International Landscape Photographer of the Year, I think that's the end of September, but let me go and look at that. Talk amongst yourselves while I look it up. You think I'd know these sort of things, but I don't.
Mate, what do you reckon about the AFL, Fletch? It's kind of nowhere.
Oh, God, no, not the AFL.
AFL.
What about rugby league?
I don't watch football, unfortunately. I watched it even less. Competition closes September the 23rd with late entries accepted until September the 30th.
Yep.
That's National Anthem. It's up just because the last two emails I've got in my box are of Better Photography Magazine and International Landscape Photographer of the Year. Yeah. So I'm getting spammed by you. But I do like your newsletters, mate. I get them all the time and I do read them.
You're just making sure I haven't said anything disparaging about you, though, aren't you?
That's right. Hey, I'm just looking at that recent one you've just sent. That's come out today. Why do we keep the same judges? And I love that photo that's gone on.
Oh, I'm going to have to look and see that. Which that's one. Amazing. What's the photo of? It's,
Michelle Palazzo. She a 2017 Exotic Travel category winner. It's a beautiful building somewhere. It must be. I don't know if it's somewhere. Anyway.
Oh, yes.
And
it's all
snow and wind and ice. Incredible. So that, to me, if I saw that in a competition, I would go big tick, that would be, gold in my eyes because it's so beautiful and dramatic and it's just, I've captured a moment. It's not an aerial. It's a, someone stood on a street corner, but it's just got that
hasn't
atmosphere
it ever.
And that
and
mood.
I guess, though, that isn't it the question, though, that so you've got a photograph there like that, which is, just sensational. But what if there was somebody else who had been, why did that get first? And because if somebody else had put in, say, because that was the 2017 winner, what happens if the 2018 winner had been put into the same year? Which one would win then? And so this is why I say that first prize, second prize, third prize, that to a certain extent is a lottery. You're lucky because it's not dependent on how good you are. It's dependent on how bad everybody else is. Whereas to win a silver award or a gold award, that's only dependent on how good you are. And that's why I like competitions that provide bronze, silvers or golds, or competitions that will have something like the top 101. Whereas if you get into that top echelon, you've made it.
Is there any limit on how many people, how many entries you can make?
I don't
into
think
the
there is. There might, it might be 20, but I don't think there's a limit. And it is interesting that a number of the photographers who do people are going to say, oh, Pete's saying this so that people enter more entries. And it, I'm certainly mentioning it because it's a good idea. But quite a few of the people who have got two or three photos in the book, and the maximum you can have is four photos in the book, because if you get more, we limit it to four. But they might have entered 20 photos. And their argument, and I found the same argument as well, like in the New South Wales Award, which I won overall last year, I entered 12 pictures. So I put four into landscape, four into travel, and four into wildlife. And the four in wildlife did really, really well. The four in landscape just did averagely, and the four in travel really bombed. And so if I had just gone into travel, I would have gone nowhere because I was unable to pick what the judges were going to like that particular year. I mean, I got a gold in travel, but I also got that 67 we talked about before in travel. So it's by putting in more photographs, you're basically giving yourself a better chance of being in the top echelon because that's where it becomes an element of luck. I mean, those photographers who entered 20 photos, probably all 20 photos were in the top 20% because they're good photographers, but they only got a smaller number that got into the top 101.
Yeah. And look, ultimately, you only need one.
That's right. And you only need one to get in the top 101. I mean, it depends what you want. If you're entering a photo competition to get first prize, then expect a lot of disappointment in your life. It's just not going to happen. But if you're entering the competition to get one or two silvers or to do better than last year, then that's where you're going to make that. That's where you're going to get the benefit out of photo competitions.
So, as a photographer, just getting into this, how important do you see this in terms of development on towards your path of this as your craft or profession?
Well, it's not the only way that you can develop, but when we look at the life of an enthusiast photographer, a professional photographer, who do you ask for independent advice? So if you ask your family, you're the best photographer in the world. You ask friends, you're the best photographer in the world. If you go to do a course, like a tertiary course or something like that, well, your tutor or your lecturer, they're going to be independent. But not everybody does a course on photography. If you go and do a little course with Christian or with me, we're not going to necessarily be completely honest with you either, because we want you to do more courses. We're going to be very, very positive in trying to get you to be better. But when you put your photos into a photo competition, you're anonymous. And so you get a very, very honest answer. And so I do think that photo competitions can have a role. I mean, some people might really hate getting a rejection, and that's going to put them on a downward spiral, and they're going to feel really despondent for years on end. Don't enter. I mean, I get it. Not everybody can take rejection, but I just wanted to reinforce the fact that I seem to be a reasonably upbeat guy, but I feel despondent when I get low scores for those photos. I still remember the 67 from last year, not the 97, and that's because we do seem to dwell on those negatives a little bit. But once you get past that, going back to the Easter Island photo as an example, it just improves your photography so much. And it's such an accessible way to enter photo competitions. It can all be done online. It's all anonymous. If you get a lot of bad scores, nobody else will ever know. It's only you who will know. And then next year when you do better, well, that's when you go onto social media and tell the world that you're brilliant.
Well, Pete, look, I think it's been great chatting to you as always, but I think you've inspired a lot more people. I'm hoping that everyone gets on now and enters your competition because it deserves to do well, and we want to keep it going because it is a bit of a benchmark, and the books are magnificent. I've got one of the first ones, and that is bloody stunning. And I was just scrolling through it online there, just the some of the other photos, and go, God, there's so many better photos in there than mine. How did I win? So actually, the judging process,
this is for the landscape
you have to get
our theory is this, Christian, sort of, the international landscape. We've got a number of theories behind it. One, there's the top 101. Two, it's a lot easier for anybody, and I say this with respect, it's a lot easier for anybody to take one good photograph. They just might happen to be in front of a volcano erupting one morning and they get a great shot, and you know, they're going to possibly get in the top 101 just because they are at the right place at the right time. And for that, we have the International Landscape Photograph of the Year, and that just requires one image. And so we've got first, second, and third. But we also acknowledge that to be a photographer isn't just taking one good photo, it's being able to produce a portfolio of great shots. And so that's why to win the International Landscape Photographer of the Year, and you're right, when you look at your four photographs in the year that you won, there are individual photographs, which I agree with you, are much better than your crappy shots. No, no, I didn't mean to say that. but they are individually stronger. But we're looking at a photographer, at the person who can create four or more images, and we only judge the top four, and it's that portfolio. That's why you won, because you showed that your shot wasn't just a one-shot wonder. You have the ability to create more than one. You can create a portfolio. You are a photographer, not someone who happened to take a great photograph. I apologize for being complimentary to you. I try not to do that too often on these podcasts.
That was weird. That's why at the end of that, we just kind of went silent. That was now, look, I just want to say, Pete, I've actually just signed up as well. So if you get over to betterphotography.com, the sign-up process is super simple. $20 a photo, mate, you must be rolling in it.
Oh, just so much. Well, if I had 100,000 people entering, I would offer a much larger cash prize and I would be doing very well. The reality is that we have the cost of paying the judges. We've got the prizes that we put out there. And when I sit down and I analyze the number of hours I do, I would be better off doing tax returns than running a photo competition. But I love doing photo competitions. I believe it. And I am actually talking with David Evans. David, I think, does quite well out of the Pano Awards. That's been going for a long time. It seems to be successful. And he does a lot of marketing. So I've hired David to do a little bit of more marketing for the Better Photography competition. Because each of the competitions, the Pano Awards, the International Landscape Competition, the Better Photography competition, they each provide something a little bit different in the experience for the photographer. And they've also got different judges, so a different voice, different feedback. If we've convinced you, have a look at any rate and put your toe in the water. Enter one photo into each competition and see how you go.
Go on. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, do it. Do it, everybody. Hey, yes, I was going to ask a question. As far as the type of photographs that are in the landscape, there's not a category for altered landscape, is there? We get into
trouble with a few people around the world who think that landscape photography should be like wildlife photography, or you know, we've had people say, "Oh, I'm not going to enter the landscape competition because unless you do composites, you're not going to be able to win. It's the Photoshop awards, not the photography awards." And I personally feel that these photographers are Luddites in many ways, because they don't understand the big picture about what photography is all about. Landscape photography is everything. And interestingly enough, I went and did an exercise where someone accused the awards of being, you know, basically the Photoshop awards. Yes, every photograph has been Photoshopped or Lightroomed or whatever. You can't do a good photograph without doing some post-production. But the number that used composites or altered, altered images, you might be asking a different question. Anyway, but the numbers that were composites was sort of, you know, or fake landscapes were, you know, 20 or 30%. So the judges are still rewarding that straight landscape far more regularly than something that's a composite. But now if that's an altered landscape or that's in post-production, but Christian, some of your work, for instance, where we're looking at the Grant Mudford, the Stephen Shaw, the banal landscape, we don't see enough of that, I don't think, in the landscape, International Landscape Photographer of the Year Awards. And I had an email from an entrant recently saying, are you able to enter in urban landscapes? Because there are very few urban landscapes in the books. And I replied to him, I said, yes, we'd love to see some. Yeah. Whether the judges will pick them or not, I don't know, of course. But, yeah, there's no limit in that respect. Our awards is just simply a landscape As long as you've used a camera to capture it, you can do what you like in post-production. And, you know, we have a very broad cross-section of what we consider a landscape is. It's up to you to convince the judges that it's a great landscape photo.
Fantastic, Pete. Well, look, on that note, I think we should say goodbye and let you get on to doing what you're doing, obviously, which is, you know, being an amazing, successful photographer.
You finished now, and, Christian?
You know, yeah, so I'm just trying to be polite. I thought I've done very well, actually, because my wife always says, you're always so hard on Pete, you know. You just got to watch what you say because he'll take it to heart, the poor guy.
I do have to go and have a debrief after each of these. Carwin and I do have a long conversation. It's sort of like going to church, isn't it, Carwin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine you two debriefing together. But anyway, we probably shouldn't go there at the end of the podcast because it's been so positive up until now. And then I start opening my mouth and it goes downhill. Thanks, Pete. It's great chatting, mate. And I'm looking through my images now.
Come on, one more plug. Come on, Pete.
Okay, so it's the Better Photography Photo of the Year competition, and that's open now, closes the 22nd of August. Go to betterphotography.com and you'll find out all about it. And then next month, the International Landscape Photographer of the Year closes, and we're looking for the top 101, and you get published in a real book. And there are also some great, you know, there's 10,000 US and prizes as well. So two great competitions. Love to see you entering. Thanks, gents. Catch
Good
you
stuff.
Later. Cheers.
Thanks, Pete.
Right. So there you have it. That was Sir Peter Riksway. Get yourself over to betterphotography.com and get entering. Also, too, make sure you check out our website as well. It's lightminded.com.au. And join us on Instagram. Just do a search for Lightminded Podcast. Sir Peter Riksway, great to have you back.